Good morning. It's such a blessing to be here with you. Great worship. Unfortunately, a little bit too short service. I mean, I know everybody needs lunch, but I would love to stay in such fellowship and worship even longer. You know, you will understand why I tell this, probably while I'm speaking. I entitled this sermon today as Gospel-Centered Worship. I need to warn you first. I'm going to be probably a little bit provocative and challenging for some of you, but that's my style, so I can't resist. If I will speak to the choir, just what am I doing here then? I need to challenge a little, but before I will jump into what I'm going to talk about, I want to remind you that I'm coming from a Jewish standpoint to a certain extent. So Jewish type of theological thinking is, it's not necessary either or, but both and. Please keep it in mind. If you will consider something what I'm going to say as something contradicting to what you dearly believe in, it's not necessary. That, it's just like, maybe it's complimenting. Maybe it's giving you a new perspective, a new look, a new dimension of something what is there in beautiful divine design in this world. So don't consider me to contradict to anything. I'm not aiming for that. Just consider me to trying to show you like a little bit different perspective, maybe. Or maybe for some of you, or for many of you, maybe for all of you, it's also well known. Still, I'm going to talk about it. So the gospel. The gospel that we usually preach, and I will start with the gospel, is understood like Jesus died for my sin, he was buried, and then he was risen. And that's usually the gospel, as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's usually what is preached. I would say that it's, from my understanding, it's not the whole gospel. It's part of it. But I would say that the gospel begins with the very creation of the world. And the fact is that the man was created by God in God's own image. Look, recently in the news, I was reading something like, now that the people of science, they know that, like Homo sapiens, the humankind like we are, had intercourse with other types of human-like types of species even earlier, because we have something like in our DNA, something like this. So, and I was reading that, and I was thinking, well, it's a good news actually. Well, now I can sleep. Somehow better, probably. What's the fun? I mean, like my ancestors, they in my blood, in my gene, there is something from this monkey-like type of creature. Yes! I was waiting for this exciting news all my life. Now I'm going to be free of all depressing conditions in my soul. You know, you're laughing. It's a joke. But the fact that I'm created according to the God's own image, I'm loved by Him, I'm dear to Him, I'm created in the way He wants me to be, that comforts me. That gives me peace. That gives me courage. So the very beginning of the good news, and we have so little good news in medias today. Well, looking all the news here in Dallas local or nationwide or international news, it's so depressing. I mean, here in the United States, all these election stories, it's, well, disaster. And from my European perspective, don't be upset with me. Reading the European news, it's so depressing. Everything is so bad, but there is a good news. And the good news starts with the fact that God created us according to His own image. And then He was willing, His aim, His goal, His passion, His desire was to have fellowship with us. He put the first man in His presence to fellowship with Him. From the very beginning of the creation, God passionately desires to fellowship with the humankind. The man sinned, but the God never hid Himself from the man. Do you remember Genesis chapter 3? The man hid himself from God. God came to the fallen man, but the man was hiding himself from the God who was seeking for him. If you remember this question of God, where are you? This question goes through the entire Bible. God is looking for us. The God of the Bible is the God with the hands stretching toward us. Come back, because I want to have fellowship with you. Because I want to be with you and you be with me. I want us to be together. Come back to me. Everything what we see in the Old Testament speaks in this way and goes this way and brings us to certain desire, understanding that God wants to be with us. Sacrifices. The creation of the nation of Israel. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 12, God says, his first speech to Abraham, He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. But now, the point, and in you, all nations, all people of this earth will be blessed. And as the story unfolds, we see that Jesus came to bring this Abrahamic blessing to all nations. People were hiding themselves from God. We were abandoning Him. We were leaving Him. We were sinful. And God never stopped looking for us. The good news of the Bible is, in the Old Testament, it's the prophecies, it's the statements, it's all this about God stretching out His hands to us, telling, come back to me. I want to be in your midst. You will get the temple in Jerusalem, He said to the Jewish people, and I will be in your midst. I will be in your midst in the tabernacle while you travel. I will be in your midst in Jerusalem. I will be there in your midst because I want it. I am passionately desiring to be in fellowship with you. Well, maybe somebody can disagree with me. Think of it. Consider that to be some complement to the whole story. And then, the prophecy of the Old Testament was telling God is going to bring us to the restoration of this glorious, loving fellowship between us and God. In order to restore this fellowship, God was willing to sacrifice everything. Everything. We know in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, it's written, so God loves the world so much that He gave His only Son for everybody who believes to have the eternal life. So He gives His only Son. But that's a huge sacrifice. But that's not all. Look, one of the reasons for me to believe in the divinity of Jesus and in the triune God is when man abandons God, God comes to the man. Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus is coming to this earth, abandoning the glory and throne and power, He comes to us in order to dwell in our midst. And all what I'm saying so far, it's the gospel. It's the good news. It's what makes me rejoice and enjoy, actually, belief in the God of Israel and in Jesus the Messiah. He comes to visit us. He comes to visit me. We didn't want to fellowship with him. I never knew him. He came to me. We can come to him because he came to us first. So God abundance everything, including his glory and power and might to become like one of us. The good news is he didn't come to powerful, strong, and righteous only. He came to sick, to needy, to sinful. I think it's a good news because it's about me. It's about you. He visits us. But that's not the end of the gospel. The Son of God, Jesus, dies on the cross for our sin. He takes our sin on his shoulders, on himself. He takes the punishment for our sin on himself. He dies. But he is risen. We are going to celebrate it soon. So the gospel continues. He is risen. He is risen as a sign that the death is defeated and God can have the eternal fellowship with us. He is risen, he is alive, and it's a proof that we will be risen. He is not just a spirit or in memory somewhere alive. He is risen in the body. And it's a proof that we will be risen as well. And then Jesus went to heaven. He ascended. He like left us. But there is a good news. There is a good news even the gospel in this message. Why? Because Jesus himself said, I will not abandon you. I will not leave you like absolutely alone because I need to go for the Spirit of God. Come. He sent his Spirit. That's a good news. It's not just the confirmation that we are the children of the Most High God. It's also the enablement, the power to believe in him. You know, without Spirit, nobody can even tell that Jesus is the Lord. We cannot call him as the Lord without this Holy Spirit. So the Spirit came and gave us power to be his testimony, to be his witnesses, to live. He gave us to live with him, in fellowship with him. He is constantly in us. He is praying for us even when we sleep. I think it's a good news. And Jesus said, I will send, you will not be alone, I will be with you. So the Spirit is with us, and it's a fellowship with him. And it's not all yet. Jesus is coming back. That's a good news. The restoration of everything, the fullness of life with him, with the Lord of all lords. He restores the fullness of the fellowship between us and God. The gospel that I see in the Bible from the very story of creation through the very end of times is God wants to fellowship with us. And that's what we were just reading in 1 John. It's about koinonia. It's about the fellowship. If we are walking in his light, we have fellowship with each other. And primarily in context, it's not just about our fellowship with each other here. It's about fellowship between me and God, between you and God. We are placed in this glorious fellowship with Him. For me, that's a good news. I don't know about you, but I love this fact. It's such a joy to be with Him. We have a unique God. He could punish us. He could destroy us. He could say, "You are sinful. I don't want to fellowship with you any longer." We know how it feels. If somebody offends us, we can forgive. But something is still staying in our soul. Like, oh, I better not to fellowship with this guy. God never did like this. We did wrong. He was coming to us. He was not expecting, he was not waiting for us, or just come to me and apologize first, and then I will consider whether to forgive or not. No, he came to us. He forgives. He passionately desires to be with us together. And now we are coming to the worship. And particularly, we are coming to the I want to talk about the worship service. In many churches today, we are very rational in our minds. We need the information. Information is very important. Information is like gold today. We want to receive more and more information, like all the companies, enterprises, and they want to get information about us. If you Google something, or if you do some search online, or if you buy something, all these internet providers and different platforms, they try to get your interest. They try to get all your information in order to advertise you something. They will offer you like freebies just for you to submit some information to them, for them to bombard you with different sale proposals and stuff. We live in the society when the information and rational and mind play such an important role. And you know, what is in the church, in many churches, even like Redeemer, excellent church. Don't be upset with me right now. But what is in the center of many churches today? Like, look at this worship facility. What is in the center? What is in the focal point? What is in the spotlight this morning? The pulpit! Instead of being focused on God, sometimes, I don't mean you, but sometimes there is a big temptation to see the man behind this pulpit or besides this pulpit as a focal point of the service. Look, we come to the service with an idea, okay, I want to hear something new today. I want to be edified. I want to receive some interesting and valuable information, right? I'm the same way. That's legitimate. But that's not all what is the worship service about. A number of years ago, like graduate from Dallas Theological Seminary, very rationally thinking man, I was staying with a family. And we were going to the service, we were getting ready to the service. And the woman, she was praying, like before going, and praising God, and she was like praying, "Oh, I'm so glad to go to the worship service this morning because I'm going to meet the Lord of all lords, and it's so that just I'm going to have fellowship with the Almighty God." And I was just like, seriously? I never thought about this. No, well, probably I did. I did sing it as I was a young believer before I graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm just kidding. But you see, this lady, she knew something what I forgot. The worship service, it's not about the pulpit. It's about fellowship with God. It's about the fellowship with Jesus. It's about Him being in the center. Do you think that preaching is more important than singing? Do you really think this way? Do you think that singing is more important than the prayer? Do you really think this way? Do you think that reading from the scripture that we just heard from Elijah, and he actually spared so much of my work, I mean, I don't need to read it because he did, and his pronunciation is way better than mine. So, it's just like, is it less important than my preaching? We need to bring the balance in our understanding of the worship service. We are coming here on Sunday morning not just to get the valuable information. That as well, but not just. We are not coming here just to sing and leave. We come here for this holistic experience of our fellowship with Him and with each other. That's the only day, usually, and unfortunately, but the only day the church has to come together as the body, as the community, as one, to come and to fellowship with the Lord corporately. We cannot cash. We cannot just exchange this opportunity just for rational edification from the preaching. We need to come with an assumption. I'm not coming for a man. I'm not coming for a teacher. I'm even not coming just for the worship choir. I'm not just coming to see nice people as you all are. I'm coming to this worship to meet with Him. I want to fellowship with Him. Well, I can fellowship with Him at my home anytime. When I sleep, I'm also with Him. I can fellowship with Him even in my isolation box, namely car. I can fellowship with Him anywhere and all anytime, but I'm coming on Sunday to the church because that's the day with my brethren, with other fellow believers, with other members of this one body. I'm coming together not just to listen to a good sermon, not just to sing a song or a couple of songs with the choir. I'm not just coming to talk to some nice people or pray or listen. I'm coming to the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. That is what makes the church service on Sunday the church service on Sunday. If you look at the historic churches, with all strange and weird things that they can make developed over the years. But in the center, there was the communion, whatever terminologies they were using. If you look at the synagogue, even like historic old synagogues, in the center, there is a bima or high place with the Torah scroll read on this place. Because the Torah, the word, represents God. Preacher, never stand in the middle of the historic church, and never rabbi stood in the middle of the synagogue service on Saturday. We did it. We put it in the midst, in the middle, in the focal, in the spotlight. That's not wrong, but that's not all. Balance. Don't get upset with me if you disagree with what I just said. Consider that. Pray about it. Look at the bigger picture. It's like a mosaic of different pieces coming together. But I hope that all of you will agree with me that it's a tremendous good news. It's the gospel. God creates us according to his own image in order to fellowship with us, to be with us, to spend time with us. He never abandons us. He seeks us to bring us back to himself. He brings us in the fellowship. He does everything for us. He humiliates himself. He goes till the death of his only son. He does everything. He abandons all the glory and power just to rescue us, and not just to rescue, but to bring us into the fellowship with him. He sends his Holy Spirit to empower us and not to leave us alone, but to be in this fellowship with us. And he's coming back. Jesus is coming back to spend the eternity with us, and we are not left alone. We will never be left alone. I think it's a tremendously good news. And Sunday worship, including communion, Lord's Supper, whatever terminology you use, including everything, it's a holistic opportunity for us to come and to dwell in his holy presence. In his message to the church in Laodicea, and you know that in the book of Revelation, Jesus tells, actually, probably to the believers, I stand at your door and I knock. And if you will open, I will come in and I will dine with you. I will eat with you. The highest level possible of the fellowship, the table fellowship. Jesus is here to fellowship with us. And that's what we are here for. Think about it. And if you never consider the gospel as the great news of God coming to fellowship with you, the fellowship that he seeks and passionately wants to have, consider it today and open your heart to Jesus. And even if you're a believer for like 50, 60, or maybe in case of some of you, why not, 70 years? Still, at least on Sunday morning, open the door of your heart and come to the church to dwell, to enjoy, to rejoice, to be edified, to be blessed in the fellowship with Jesus in our corporate worship service. Let's pray.